Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to a special episode of the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. This weekend, Seth Meyers will host Saturday Night Live for the first time since departing the show in 2014. This week, we'll be bringing you special podcast episodes focusing on SNL. Today, hear an exclusive long-form chat between Seth and his friend, Kenan Thompson. Now, let's go to Seth and Kenan.
So we are here with Kenan Thompson,
Yes. Also
a father of two.
That's right. There's Ash and what's the
Axel.
Other and Axel. Ash and Axel.
And what are yours?
I am Georgia and Gianna, so two A's and two G's.
Georgia and Gianna. Did you guys on purpose decide we want them to both be G names?
It got to that.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out for a while what the second name would be, and then we started landing on G and A ending type names, so they kind of rhyme.
Alexi really wanted an A name. She's got her sister's Ariel, her brother's Anatoly.
My brother's Kerwin, so.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So you had the case.
It's a bond.
I'm a little worried. So wait, Georgia and Gianna, at least, I'm worried Axel and Ash are going to sound too close when we're yelling for them. Do you worry about
Axel, Ash, well, they're both going to be in trouble at the same time.
That's true. They're going to get into it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have nicknames for yours yet?
Yeah. Georgia was Pooey.
Okay.
I used to call her the Pooey just because it was my first time being so up close with diapers and stuff like that. this kid poops. That's what's up. I'm a healthy baby. And then Gianna is she's really squishy. Back to that Gerber mouth and that juicy little gummy little
mouth.
Gotcha.
Yeah, our second one's squishier.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pooey and squishy.
No, gooey and squishy. There you go. That's a really good, those will follow them well into adulthood, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Georgia shakes that Pooey thing before she gets
too far
really
into
school.
Well, that's really
up to her. Yeah, right?
You're going to be on the show tonight, and we're going to talk a lot about, obviously, the season starting up again, but this is 16 years.
Yeah.
I was, I think it was my third year was your first year.
Uh-huh.
So I was there for a lot of you.
Yeah.
And
a lot.
Now looking back, because I feel like we all talk about, I always thought I'd get fired over the summer.
For sure.
I mean, I did reach a point where I realized that wasn't going to be the case. But it was probably, I was there 12 years, it was probably year eight?
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling pretty good around five-ish, but it definitely took all five of those to be I feel better about it now.
It's weird to look back and even for long-running guys like us to realize. I think it's a gift to tell new people.
It's very cool. It's cool to watch the new people be all freaked out and not even really know that kind of Lauren needs them a little more than they realize. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And it's as long as you're doing your job weekly, he remembers that kind of stuff. And by the time the summer comes around, it's a no-brainer who's going to be coming back.
Of course. I never did the job with kids. You were doing the job with kids. Is it markedly different for you?
It is ginormously different. My days are incredibly stressed out now. So I just catch naps. I don't know what constant sleep is anymore, especially now that the baby's so young still. You know what I mean? So she's getting up in the middle of the night. And God bless my wife, she'll get up with her, or sometimes I'll get up, you know what I mean?
Saturday must just be a lifetime for your wife.
Yeah, it is, especially since Friday night last time I was on baby duty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like my Friday and Saturday kind of melted into the same day a little bit. And I was really, really tired on Sunday, but you know, I had the babies to myself on Sunday too, because my wife wanted to go to Storm King and check out with her friends. Yeah,
she went to Storm King on her own, or you brought the babies to Storm King?
Well, she had friends in town, so they went, and I stayed home with the babies on
that
Sunday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
good for you.
Dedicated parenting, man.
There you go, man.
You know what I mean? It's the best.
Do you still have? Do you still get the butterflies or the goosebumps before
the
show?
For sure. Pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, especially since we do the warm up. So.
Oh right.
I feel it much better because it's such a out of the box thing for the cast to do. You know what I mean? Like, no other cast member has to like sing a full song.
Well, this is interesting, I mean? For people don't. When you say the warm up, people might not know this is the deal. Again, I was there for a long enough time. The warm up changed for a lot of things. Sometimes Jason Sudeikis come out and talk to the crowd.
Yes.
Who's doing it now? Who talks to the crowd?
Che talks to the crowd, and then we do a song.
And what are the most important pieces of information that Che is getting? I mean, one, it's to welcome people, but what are the things he's telling people?
He does the emergency exit, I think, is like the one mandatory thing. And then I feel like Sudeikis used to always do, this place is a damn museum. Like, take something on the way out.
That was
love that joke. But I think Che moves past it pretty quickly and gets like right into like, so who voted for Trump? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, really? Nobody?
And what is your, what's the song these days?
I'm on Give Me Some Lovin'.
Okay.
Spencer Davis.
And do you have people backing you up?
Yeah.
Who else from the cast?
It varies, but Cecily's always like, you know, a constant in it. And last week it was Cecily, Heidi, and Melissa.
Oh, that's
so it's
fantastic.
Usually Cecily, Kate, and Melissa, or Heidi will step in.
Now, does that mean that Kate was stepped out because she was getting Lindsey Graham makeup?
Exactly.
Got it.
Yep. Whenever she has like a heavy coat open, she's like, can somebody like, you know, and I'm like, I feel you, sister. Like, you know what I mean?
Has there ever been a time where you're doing the warm up and then you have to rush off so fast to do it that it's problematic?
It's not problematic. I'll just probably be halfway into my look
already,
so I'll be singing, looking like a crazy person.
Which
like,
is always, so that's also fun for people.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, I love it. It's like, yeah, that's like my new look, all half made up, weird bald cap head.
I feel like we're burying the lead, which is very exciting, which is I'm going to be hosting the third show this year.
No, congratulations.
Thanks,
it's your first time hosting, right? I can't believe that.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's unbelievable.
It's
going to be so much fun.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I am very excited.
You've already written the show.
I got some ideas,
right?
But not. I also don't want people to just take the week off.
Yeah.
I feel like because I was there when Tina came back.
Seth got it.
When Tina came back, I remember she was like, "Hey, just because I used to be a writer here, don't think that you can all take the week off."
Yeah, but, seriously.
And I guess the last person that wrote on the show that came back to host was Mulaney, which was obviously a fantastic week.
Yeah,
he brought his fastball.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
big time fastball from the old school of like fastball days. Like,
well, there was the Les Mis lobster sketch.
That's what I'm saying.
That was a resubmit.
Yeah.
That was a sketch that they had written for someone else.
Tanked at the table. It didn't even get past the table. It's not like it made it to dress or anything.
I don't think I have anything like that. I was like trying to think back through my trunk pieces. You have the best memory of anybody I know for the show.
Like a resubmit land?
Of just something I wrote that bombed so hard that would be fun to bring back. But I don't think I got it.
Yeah, I don't know if you have necessarily bombs.
Yeah.
But you have some like callback characters. Like I feel like the Zing guy's got to come back
a little bit. I don't know if the Zing guy's going to come back. I think he lost his medical license. He's no longer.
I just want to hear 3 pages of sound effects.
You know, one of the things obviously that's weird for me coming back is, you know, if I have a recurring character, it's the guy who hosted Update, and that is being anchored by 2 very able people now. I had so many joyous Update occasions with you out there.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? What are your top 3 Keenan Update features that you played?
I mean, I guess starting with John K. John.
John K. John
was like the first
fresh
idea. You know what I mean? That was just like a lot of fun and was able to come back, you know, a couple times. And then Ortiz was always
Big
so
Poppy.
Much fun. Big Poppy, so much fun.
3-dimensional. There's so many good moves in the David
so
Ortiz.
So many moves. Yeah. Especially when he starts running down like his advertising when he's doing ads for people. So,
the best.
So much fun.
Yeah.
And then LeVar Ball's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, I mean, I don't know. It's always like, you know, people that I do in sketches as well. Like Sharpton's been on the desk and that's fun. And Barkley too. Like Barkley and Shaq
stand out for me. One that I think about a lot is Oscar Rogers. Oscar Rogers.
Is that Fix It?
He's Fix It.
I love Fix It.
Fix It was just a guy who came out.
We're bringing Fix It back this week. Maybe we'll bring it back when you do it.
Oh, that would be great.
That'd be so fun.
Oscar Rogers was written, I believe, by James Anderson after the financial crisis.
In like 6 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely written in the time it takes you to say it out loud.
Absolutely.
And it was in the shadow of the financial crisis. And I remember James, who's as prolific a writer at SNL, yeah, and as great a writer in the history of SNL.
Yeah, may have had a little money tied up.
May have had, but it was not known for writing his political pieces or pieces about finance. No. He just really boiled it down for people. Yeah. Oscar Rogers just wanted everybody in Washington to fix it.
I'm tired of waking up and being confused by my financial report. I want it fixed.
Rent is Too Damn High guy?
Oh, yeah.
He was
Jimmy McMillan.
Jimmy McMillan.
Oh, so okay. Good.
That was a good one.
I just love that he wears gloves because of Agent Orange still. Like, that's one of the greatest little quirks.
A lot of good sketch details.
Great little quirks,
for him.
The Black Lorax.
And looking back now, I'm like, oh, wow, could we have done that? Remember when Fred was a deaf?
Oh, my God, yeah.
He was a deaf comedian who was...
And I was his interpreter or whatever.
And his jokes were pretty racist.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Super racist.
Super racist.
Like, one of them was a drive-by, I think, the punchline was.
Yeah. Like, that's only 15 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
And you kind of look at it and say, I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure, actually. Like, you definitely can.
Yeah, like, you're right. I'm sitting here being like, that's
way
not...
Way sensitive. Yeah. Way more sensitive these days. One of them was watermelon, and like another one was drive-by, and like those are just
and that
people
is
are way too woke at the moment for that.
But it's also, I think, you know, I would argue that the people that were writing those things then also thought they were woke. It just everything changes.
It just wasn't so touchy back then. Everything wasn't so sensitive. Well, I mean, it was also like everything's so reflective on people's cultures these days, which is like people on the other side are like so willing to use against them. You know what I mean? So if you make a joke that makes a person look diminished, it's like, you know, another score, like kicking a goal into your own goal. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird.
And then coming back, year 16, I know we've talked about this. Man, I feel like I can't remember what we talked about it on the show, but one of my favorite sketches of all time that didn't air, or did it air? Did Action Jack air with Kevin Hart?
Active Jack made it.
It did. Yeah, it did make it with Active Jack.
Thank Kevin Hart.
Originally written for Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, yes. Yeah. And he did great. And
he did great.
It didn't make it. It got a standing ovation, even. Like, I never, like, left a sketch and, like, saw the audience, like, standing up clapping and it not go.
Yeah. That's a weird thing. Not what happened that was that? Was it just, I guess it was just that Bruno Mars was a... it was a good show. It must have been a great dress.
It must have been a great dress and either ran for time or he was uncomfortable or it just, you know, got
maybe he was just too tired because he worked so hard in his songs.
He did like three songs, I want to say, like a cold open. And
he sang in that, I can't remember if it was a Pandora. Remember the, he did that Pandora sketch?
Yeah, he did
where
the one with Ariana Grande, right?
That she interviewed. What about when you look back, are there... like political people you've played that you enjoyed?
Sharpton is my favorite.
Yeah.
In like the world of politics that I've ever gotten to do. He's just, it's unbelievable what you're able to do that he just, like, I'm doing the exact thing he did. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy that he just tosses up such softballs for you to hit him out like that. And I don't, you know, who else is like political that I've done?
This is not political.
Like,
but
people that, like Carol Moseley Braun, I thought it was always like funny that I was able to do her just because, you know, it existed and I semi-looked like her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was always funny to me.
Well, certainly one of the really nice things, because, you know, that speaks to how much better equipped the show is to handle with people like Carol Moseley Braun in recent years.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I guess in the last 5-6 years, there have been a lot more black women on the cast. The cast has been a lot more adept at handling those characters.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, when that wasn't the case, I was still like, oh, that's an interesting, you know, actor type feat to tackle, to be able to play all these, like, whoever type characters. That's why I did Reba, just because I was just like, I want to do whoever, you know what I mean?
Reba is really, I mean, that is a digital short.
It is a reach.
I stand by as my favorite digital short.
It's certainly
my top three. Yeah, Two Worlds Collide.
So
for those
zany.
Of you who haven't seen Two Worlds Collide. Andy's plays
the craziest
Andy,
thing in the world.
And Keenan plays Reba.
I play a Reba McIntyre.
And you had, did the first Reba sketch go to make it to air?
Not even close.
So you never played her.
Actually, we did it to Dress, yeah.
You did it to Dress.
Yeah.
And that was a sketch that Emily Spivey wrote? The first Reba?
Yeah.
And it was just, Spivey. You played Reba McIntyre, and it was
It was just the recreation of those American Bald Eagle commercials. And then they kind of, halfway through, was like, so who's this guy pretending to be Reba? It's like, I don't know. He's like a homeless guy. Just let him have the day because he's like at the craft services table eating a bunch of free snacks and then like we'll let him go back outside or something like that.
Yeah. And you then met, you went on stage with the real Reba.
In the same dress.
In the same dress as Reba. So Reba, this really speaks to...
Which is like a, you know, very warm, welcoming audience for a guy in a dress.
Yeah.
Sure.
How did that go? Because I would also imagine a Nashville audience maybe hadn't seen the sketch where you played Reba.
Well, the giant arena was fine. It was just backstage hearing all the comments like, hoo-wee. Especially from like the one guy who does like the soldier commercials, like Respect the Veterans, and he's like a super big country music singer. What's his name? It's like Shane something.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? He's the biggest guy in the world. And he was like, hey man, that's a nice dress. I was like, oh God. Like, why am I doing this to myself again? Like,
and so Reba just reached out though and asked you to.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a, you know, the most flattering thing of an idea that you can have. So you got to go through with it, right?
Yeah. And it also really speaks to what a great sense of humor Reba has.
Yeah. The funniest was just explaining to my wife exactly what I was doing there the whole time. She's like, so what are you doing again? It's like, I'm going on stage as Reba McEntire with Reba McEntire. Why? It's like, she asked. Why? Because I did her on the show. Why? You know, she turned into a four-year-old.
One of my favorite stories about you and I was that what happened outside the show is we did a stand-up show at University of Rhode Island.
Best trip ever.
I told you it would be great because we'd take a train.
It was like somebody was writing it for us.
Yeah.
Because the chaos to even get there. You know what I mean?
And it shouldn't be hard to get to Rhode Island. That seems like a really easy way.
It should be a hop skip for a normal person, especially now in the days of Uber or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this is before Uber and before ride apps.
And we were at Penn Station, and they just canceled our train.
Ready to roll.
Straight up canceled it.
We were so happy to see each other, too. It was like, hell, greetings outside of the office.
And we're going to go. We're going to sit on a beautiful train and look out and see the ocean. Canceled.
Man, get some sodas.
So we had to go to a Times Square Avis.
Yep.
There was a problem, which is you need a credit card and a driver's license to rent a car.
That's right.
I did not have a driver's license.
And I did not have a credit card.
No, I'm sure people listening.
Like, out of all my years of working, I had still not attained a credit card because for some reason I was just on the fence about being in debt. And I was like, no debt.
I think anyone listening right now would be stunned to hear either of us was missing one of those. This was like Gift of the Magi.
The most irresponsible grown dudes ever. So
we were screwed because
crunch time too.
Crunch time, like an hour no to time get left.
There. Right.
And I pulled the card of do you have a manager?
Right.
Which I don't like to pull that card.
No.
The manager came out, and I think it's safe to say she was incredibly enthusiastic and happy to see you.
For sure, because she was a large black woman.
She was large black. I believe she said, hey, Keenan, where's Kel?
Immediately.
Cut to 5 minutes later, we're in a Lincoln Navigator racing.
Yeah, brand new Lincoln Navigator, all good. She's like, oh, I'll hook it up, baby. You ain't got to worry about zip, zap, zip, zoom in the Navigator. Navigator. Flying up the highway. And you love how I drive. You love my driving.
You drive so, it's so scary.
You love it.
It was so scary. That I still...
I even remember, like, watching you cringe and then thinking to myself, yeah, that was kind of f***ed up. that move was kind of
f***ed up. It was some crazy driving. And then this, again, speaks to... We talk about the passage of time, how some comedy is does not age well. This obviously was different because we didn't have the same perspective. Because, again, this was probably like 12, 13 years ago. It was you, me, and Daryl Hammond was the closer that night.
Yeah.
And Daryl was late.
Yeah, the story continues. Like,
you did your set.
Got even crazier.
You did your set. I walked off after my set, and they were like,
Daryl was still not there yet.
Stretch.
Yeah, crazy.
Both of us fully out of material.
Yeah.
This is where our younger
also,
days.
Also, me having minimal material to begin with anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't really do stand-up. So I was like, I could talk for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was.
But yeah.
And then I remember
we went back on stage, you and I, and I would just, I just pitched you. I talked about how bad, not bad. I should say, like, when I say Keenan's a bad driver, he's not a bad driver. You're a fast driver, and I am incredibly cautious, and I was scared.
I'm very fast and aggressive, yes.
Fast and aggressive. And so we were doing...
Well, we were under crunch time at the same time.
We were under crunch time. We made it with, like, 2 hours to spare based on how fast you go. We had time to, like, stop for a meal. Yeah. But I said, hey, to do an impression of Bill Cosby driving fast.
Yeah.
Trying to make
it. You know, a home run.
And a home run back crushed. In those days. And then you just look back and go, oh boy.
I mean, it would be a lot more fun to even like address the fact that you can't and talk about that for an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just gets gnarly. Then pass out the tissues.
Exactly.
We have to cry for our nation. It's a weird time.
It is a weird time.
It's a weird time.
I'm going to ask you about this on the show, but that was
But also, Daryl showed up, by the way, at the last second and destroyed it.
Oh, yeah. Daryl Hammond.
Unbelievable.
One of the great.
One hand behind his back for like a strong hour of political humor.
Just, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
MS has to have been one of the top five weirdest good nights with Mr.
I would
West.
I'd say the absolute top.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm putting it in the top five. I don't know. I certainly can't think.
If that, you know, if there was one above it, I would like put it on top of that one. Even like that was just gnarly.
Now watching
he's
at home,
such a setup artist. Like he invited the cast back up there to immediately shit on them. Like I'm like what kind of like weird, let me be the puppet master type shit is that? Like I'm so glad that I had like gone to my room to change or whatever.
Yeah,
I was still dressed in my cop outfit.
That is one of the.
Well, no, they cut that. That was at dress rehearsal. So.
Okay. So what's oh interesting? What do you do? What did he do for Good Nights at Dress?
Nothing. He just did the song.
Gotcha.
And then everybody, you know, kind of stayed up there and high-fived or whatever. And then
and so the plan was always for him to close with that.
Yeah. And then they told us, like, okay, get off stage faster so he can get right into his song. And, like, that's why it looked like everybody kind of, like, was like, let me get away from this if you don't really know the whole story. But
right.
It's like, okay, now Kanye's going to do his song. And then he called them all back up there and then proceeded to have a sermon. So
very strange.
And it's just like it's unfortunate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems
he was.
So...
I should say that you know he was always, and I don't mean this as a negative, but he was always very exacting insofar as what he wanted from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye rehearsal would always push Thursday rehearsal later for us,
which is fine. He's like, oh, I'm a perfectionist. I'm this, that, and the other. It's like
always
all
worth
good.
It.
Yeah,
and it was always these. Very spectacular. And I think to some degree he ushered in a new era where musicians realized, oh, we can play around with the set and whatnot and make it different.
For sure.
But I did feel, I was watching saying, whoa, this is not, I would not want to be up there right now.
I mean, it's just leaning, like, just leaning your personal opinion so heavy on others. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's opinion should be up for debate. Like, you're putting it out here like what your word says goes. And that's just not fair, especially to have all those people who very publicly go the opposite way, like Kate, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, very publicly, is like strongly the total opposite way of what he's talking about, just stuck up there, you know what I mean? Out of respect of, you know, being respectful to your musical guest calling you back.
The other thing I will say is it's crazy that him dressed up in that water bottle wasn't the craziest part of his life. Like, that is now a footnote.
Yeah, and it is a meme, it's a footnote, it's all kind of stuff, because it was just like, it's almost sad because like everybody's kind of coming down on him about it when it looked like he was just trying to be up there to have a good time with it, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, the first song.
Yeah, with the bottles. It's like, oh, Kanye's just trying to have some fun, really. But
Absolutely. Then
it's like, once you really watch it, it's like everybody's kind of like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like, there's this music. Like, this is where the culture's going. Like, you're embarrassing us and this, that, and the other. Because the other side of the story is what he did at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And it's like that all together is like he's losing his mind.
Well, it is always interesting for live television. I think
that's
I'm really worried.
Genius,
I'm
man.
Worried that when I host, Paul Simon is going to do the same.
Is he going to fall asleep playing? Is he the musical guest?
He is.
Oh, this is going to be his last. This is like his last little tour, right?
Yeah, this is.
That's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That's special.
And I'm very excited, too, because, you know, other than Update, like, we haven't been in a sketch together for years and years and years. So I'm really hoping.
Like, I'm trying to get crazy.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Some weird, like, Boy Scout master type.
You are better at the show than anyone has ever been, and I'm so happy you're here tonight,
oh,
and I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you. That's a lie, but thank you very much.
It's
I appreciate
the truth.
It. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Yeah. I love you.
I love you, man.
Thanks for being here.
This is cool, by the way. Like,
this
you
is
do
fun,
this
right?
all the time?
Not all the time.
This easy?
We do it with people that I want it to be
and
this
is there
easy
a little
with.
Bit of involved, or
no.
Is it just extracurricular? Okay.
He made a money. A woo-woo-woo meant
yeah,
money.
A little money gesture.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.